God, our Heavenly Father, we have come to praise you, who you are, for your majesty, your authority, your sovereignty and power. There's no God like you. There's no God besides you. We praise you, the one true living God of all creation. You are Lord of all that you have made. You have authority over all that was, is, and will be. Yours is power, yours is the glory, and yours is the name above all names. Father, we come to praise you for what you have done. You have made us and loved us, held us and healed us, forgiven us and accepted us. You have made us your sons and daughters. You have given us your Son, whom we know as both Jesus our Saviour and Christ our Lord. We praise you for the living Christ, the shepherd who knows all his sheep. We praise you for his love, for those already in the fold, and for those who are still far away, who have not yet heard his voice. We praise you for the Spirit who reached out, touches and changes lives and welcomes us home. We praise you, our Father and our Shepherd, for who you are and what you have done to make us your own. In the name of the Good Shepherd, amen.
We want to grab our seats. We're going to hear from the Word of God. Ian's going to come bring us the Word of God. Just as a slight introduction, we're kicking off a new series this term. It's Living in the Goodness of God, and we're going to be looking at Psalm 23. So thanks, Anne. If you want to come and bring us the word, that'd be great.
So from Psalm 23, this is the Message version. It says, God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. And you revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase me, after me, every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. Yay!
Thanks, Anne, for bringing that word. I really do like the Message version sometimes. It just, I love reading one version, but then step to the Message sometimes just highlights some really cool stuff. If you haven't already, has everyone got a hands out, or who would like a hands out? If you haven't got one, they're down there on the entry table. And if you want a pen, there's ones down. Oh, Lynn's got a handful right here. So if you haven't got one and would like one, put your hand up. Lynn will get you one, and then you'll be good to go. You can follow along with us. I hope you do find those sheets helpful. Gives you something to take away. Sometimes I hear stuff and go, that's good. I walk away and go, what was this said? It's good to have those notes. Must be the age kicking in. I sometimes consider myself a little bit of a mechanical enthusiast. I'm not a mechanic. I'll just declare that on the out front. And if I've spoken about this story before, I'm going to apologize in advance. But one of the things my dad taught me with vehicles and things they need maintaining, and we bought ourselves a few years ago a camper trailer thing, and we wanted to take a trip to Queensland. So we're at Nowra at the time, 12, 14-hour trip. I thought it might be time to check the wheel bearings, just in case, you know. Quite often I'll drive down the road and you see the boat on the side of the road where someone's forgot to grease the bearings and they burn out and wheels fall off. I did not want to be that person on the side of the road with a wheel that overtakes the car because the bearings have burned out. Let's not do that. So I changed what I thought was the bearings. I put new bearings in it. got packed for holidays, got excited. Don't know why I decided to leave Nowra one morning and wanted to arrive on the Sunshine Coast that afternoon. That was not smart with three young kids, but I thought, no, we can do this. Let's do it. As you do, or as I do. I shouldn't assume anyone else would do it. We left early, had about 4:30, got the kids into the car, headed off, got about an hour and a half north and went, something is not right. And it's like the sinking feeling going, oh, what's happened? So you pull off the side of the road, you get out, go to touch the bearings and they're red hot. And I went, wow, glad I took care of that. Geez, I must be a good mechanic. Anyway, on the side of the road, you're jacking these wheels up, trying to find out what's wrong with it. Couldn't work it out, so let's keep going a bit further. I rung my dad at 5 o'clock in the morning, as I could as a son. Only a son could do that, hey? Ring your parents at five and say, Dad, what's going on? Anyway, made our way into Sydney. So it was about 3 hours in. Smoke nearly coming off the bearings when we got there, but the wheel didn't fall off. Got into Sydney and did the old Google search, try and find a mechanic on a Friday morning, right? Friday morning, and to say, hey, you want to do a job today? You've got nothing on in Sydney? Anyway, I found this lovely mechanic. I got no recommendations. I literally Googled, drove to this place, and this guy was just unlocking the gates as I went over and approached him with the, you know, your tongue in your cheek, you know, it's like, is this going to actually work? Are we going to get this fixed? Anyway, I seen this guy. He said, bring it on in, we'll have a look at it for you. That was at 8 o'clock in the morning. And by 3 o'clock that afternoon, this lovely gentleman had worked through and we're back on the road heading north once again, not to the Sunshine Coast. We didn't quite make it that night. But just amazing seeing the goodness of the heart of this guy who worked so hard at trying to establish, work out what was wrong and to be able to rectify it for us. Just really, in those moments, prayer's not always probably sometimes on the forefront of my lips in those moments, but certainly throughout the day, just praying, it's like, just God, you know, take care of the situation because I'm stuck. I'm stuck. I've got, you know, family and three kids on the side of the road trying to work this out and seeing his goodness take part. This week I was walking, listening to a podcast on the sermon, Living in the Goodness of God, and that's in preparation for this series kicking off today. And I was suddenly feeling that the goodness of God, rather, I was feeling very vulnerable and unsure in that moment to really dig into the goodness of God. And as we begin this new series, it's something we want to tap into because I think sometimes we, as a church, we go, you know, God is good. What do we say? All the time with enthusiasm, God is good. We say that back and forth, don't we, quite often. Do we believe it? Do we take that away and believe that he's a really good God? So we're going to unpack Psalm 23 over the next at least 8 weeks and to really embrace this psalm. Now, this psalm quite often gets used in those moments, don't we, when we're at the crematorium chapel or in the moments where we farewell someone in life. We often, quite often use that. A couple of things as a young child growing up, two pillars that I learnt of God in my early stages and is in the prayer, God is great, God is good, and we thank him for him for our food. Have anyone ever prayed that or heard that prayer prayed? Yes, yeah, I'm not alone here. Two good pillars that we can learn from that. God is good and God is great. Two things that we take away from that. And but how do we know that it's really true? And the question that comes to mind is God good all the time in our lives? Is God is good all the time in your life, every moment of the day? Because I ask, what about those times when we experience pain, whether that's physical pain, you know, tooth pain? We all had, you know, toothache. There's nothing worse, is there? I reckon there's nothing worse than that. What about when we find ourselves in conflict or depression, stressed and worried? You know, do we see God's goodness in those times? Is God really good all the time? Psalm 100, verse 5 says this, and it should be up on the screen there for us. It says, the Lord is always good. He is always loving and kind, and his faithfulness goes on and on to each succeeding generation. That's recorded in Psalms. The Bible tells us that God is good all the time. Psalm 34:9 tells us, it says, worship God if you want the best. Worship God if you want the best. You want the best of life? That's why we need to worship. Worship God if you want the best, because worship opens the doors to all God's goodness. It's a way we can experience God's goodness is in the moment of worship. For me, that's easy because I like music. Do you like music? Like I've got an appreciation for music. I love all types of music. You know, I can see God's work in secular music quite often with lyrics and stuff. But I really can find being able to embrace that, that worship becomes easy in that regard. Worship opens up the goodness of God in our lives. But what happens when I forget God's goodness? So I want to share with you four consequences when we forget what happens, when we forget about God's goodness in our life. And these are the ones that are on your sheet there this morning. So let's kick off with number one. I start claiming credit for things that God did for me. One of the things we do is I start claiming credit for things that God did for me. Let me share with you a story from Luke 12, and it's about the greedy farmer. And I've got it written down here. It's not there on your notes. It says, then he told them this story. Now, Jesus told the followers this story. The farm of a certain rich man produced a terrific crop. He talked to himself, what can I do? My barn isn't big enough for the harvest. Then he said, here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. That's a fairly good logical answer, isn't it? Yep, let's build bigger ones and make that happen. Then I'll gather all the grains and goods and I'll say to myself, self, you've done well. You ever talked to yourself like that before? I haven't. Just FYI. I quite often say I'm the best company I know, but I never say, you know, self, I've done well. Anyway, that's the way it's recorded. You've got it made and now you can retire. Take it easy and have the time of your life. He doesn't give God any credit for what he's been given. The Bible goes on to say, you fool, tonight you're going to die and I'm going to give everything to somebody else who will appreciate it and express their gratitude to me. And that's a pretty sober warning by Jesus, wasn't it? That's a pretty sober warning that he gave. Pride and ingratitude is a sin that got Satan kicked out of heaven, and that shows the seriousness of it. Now, the Bible tells us the story of King Herod. He was the king in Jesus' day, and the Bible records in Acts 12 this. It says, one day King Herod put on his royal robes, sat on his throne, and he made a speech to the people. They shouted, this is the voice of God. It's the voice of a God. He's more than human. Because Herod gave no credit to God, the Lord sent an angel to strike him down with a fatal disease and he died. Boom. All over. How about that, hey? God didn't take his life because he was immoral, greedy, or lied to people. God said because King Herod gave no credit to God, instead said, I did it all. Now, we can argue, but I did this myself. I created my business. I'm self-made through blood, sweat, and tears. It's my ingenious ways that might have created what I have. But you can see the problem when you start saying that I did it all, that I take credit for everything that I did. Everything you have in life, we owe to God. Everything we have, we owe to God. You cannot take your next breath if it wasn't for the goodness of God. You wouldn't be sitting here right now if it wasn't but for the goodness of God. We know a lot about God just by looking at nature, but I can't say, well, I don't know anything about God. I've never read the Bible. In Romans 1:20, it says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God has made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature. So they have no excuse for knowing God. As I said earlier about secular songwriters, there's a song that I've heard before, and they haven't claimed to have faith, but it says words like this, I don't need no one to tell me about heaven. I look at my daughter and I believe. I don't need proof when it comes to God and truth. I can see the sunset and I can see. I'm sure God wants us to remember the source of our success. That's why when we are blessed as much as we are, God says in Psalm 16:2, and which is also on your handout, everything good thing I have comes from him. Every good thing I have comes from him. In Corinthians, the Bible warns us, 1 Corinthians 4:7, and it's on your outline. It says, what do you have that God hasn't given you? What do you have that God hasn't given you? The answer to that is nothing. It's all been given from God. In James, and the Grow group this morning was referring to James this morning, but in James 1:17 it says, every good and perfect gift comes from God. Because ultimately, if we look to Scripture, if God did not exist, then we would not exist either. We would not exist either. I spoke briefly about 1 Corinthians, and it goes on to say, what do you have that God hasn't given you? If all you have is from God, why do you act as though you're so great and as though you accomplished it on your own? What a correction that we're given there. God is a good God. Now, the first thing that happens when I forget the goodness of God, I start claiming credit for the stuff that I do. We start taking that credit. That God did it through me and he gave the abilities for us to do it. Here's the second negative consequence that is when I forget God's goodness. I stop asking God for help. That's number two there. I stop asking God for help. This presents an issue when we overlook God's willingness to assist us and we miss out on his inherent goodness because we become self-reliant and stop seeking God through prayer. I think we live, particularly post-COVID times, is we've become very self-reliant, and particularly in our society, we've become very much reliant on ourselves. But God doesn't want us to be independent. He wants us to, he wants to help us. He wants to help you. He wants to reach out and help you. He's waiting to help you. Over 20 times in the New Testament, it tells us that he's there for us. In Matthew 7:7, the obvious one says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened. Who's heard that before? We've heard that before, haven't we, in Scripture, where he wants to actually speak through and to help us. The Bible says that you have not because you ask not. It tells us to ask. It's just like, you know, being stuck on the side of the road and using prayer as the reserve chute, but not the one you should go to first to go and to seek him and to have him to take care of those situations. When we forget God's goodness, you know what happens? Our prayers go from when you forget God's goodness, we need to be reminded of what happens. Our prayers go from expectant prayers, that's when we forget about his goodness, to wimpy murmurs. We open our mouth and nothing of substance comes out, and we never really ask God for anything. God wants us to be specific. God, help me in this situation to work out what's wrong or find out a plan how I'm going to get the family to the Sunshine Coast for holidays. You know, asking specific questions or prayers. You know, God, Johnny needs your help right now in that relationship. Being specific helps God to work and move in those moments. How can we learn to trust God more? Is to keep working on it through prayer. The more we do, the more we trust, and trust grows when we allow and ask God to meet our needs, to turn strengths and to grow our faith. I want to give you a little example. If a child is young, we've had those little children who want to climb to the top of the stairs and don't have that ability. You know, we lived in a two-story place in Sydney. Abby was only two, and they're quite. We as adults take it for granted, don't we? We jump up two stairs and run up to the top. But a two-year-old, it's like this mountain that's set before them. But first, the child will acknowledge the unmet need, won't they? Such as the desire, they want to be up the top. They want to be where their mum and dad is. They don't want to be left down the bottom. So they acknowledge that need that's required. Step two is they express the need. Kids obviously regularly do it through crying or yelling with their lack of words to communicate effectively. They make their needs known, don't they? Children have that ability to be able to do that. Step three involves the parents fulfilling the child's need by taking them on that journey, helping them up the stairs, taking them out of the crib, changing the nappy, whatever that is. And as a result, step four occurs where the child learns to trust the parent even more as they grow and develop. The cycle was repeated countless times during childhood, reinforcing the understanding that expressing needs leads to those needs being met, building trust in the parents. That cycle is exact the same way, the way God teaches us to trust him. We have an unmet need in our life. We express that unmet need to God, and God meets that need, and we learn to trust him even more. And over time, we get to build that more and more and more as we go along. That faith is built within us. And if you're not expressing your needs to God, then we're not allowing God to grow in that trust in our lives. Side note on all that is sometimes a patient comes in, doesn't it? We need patience. Who's patient when it comes to asking for things? I'm not. Lenny is. Oh, it's good. I'm glad someone is. I'm not very patient. Sometimes we want God like the vending machine, don't we? Chuck in your $2, select E7, and out comes the bottle of cold Coke on that hot summer's day, don't we? You know, we want that. We don't want to be patient. We don't want to continually ask. Sometimes that takes place. So while I'm saying that these are the steps, I think we've got to allow for those sort of patience to take place. God won't always give it to us immediately. He'll sometimes want us to wait. But here's what Jesus said in Luke 11. It says, if you are imperfect parents, know how to give good gifts. If you as imperfect parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who by the way is perfect, give good gifts to those who ask him? Think about that. He's willing to give good gifts to us. Like I said earlier, even I forget the goodness of God and become self-reliant, but things like the wheel bearings remind us along the way of the goodness of God, that he wants to work and act and move. He wants to build that trust in us. Hebrews 4:6, I've already shared this morning, that we're invited to become boldly to the throne of your good and gracious God. Not only is a good God, he's a great God, but he's a gracious God receiving us back with him. What's God's motivation in answering our prayers? David tells us in Psalm 69:16, says, answer me, O Lord, out of your goodness of your love. That's what David says. Answer me, O Lord, out of the goodness of your love. Everything good God does for you, through you and in you, he does because he is a good God. God's goodness to you is not based upon your goodness, but based upon his goodness. It's not based upon your goodness. We've already learned that he's a gracious God. It's based upon his goodness. God's goodness to you isn't based upon how good you are. And I'm glad about that for my own life. God is good to everyone, no matter if they've accepted his grace or not. Moving on to the third negative consequence that happens when you forget how good God really is. I stop trusting God in difficult times. I stop trusting God in difficult times. You see, if you're more aware of how good God really is, this would become more and more automatic to us. Every time you had a need, you automatically talked to God about it. You wouldn't try to solve it first thing by yourself. You'd go to God as the first thing. In Psalm 16, and I think that's should be on your handout there, Psalm 16, 1 to 2. Does someone want to read that?
Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you I have no good thing.
We shouldn't forget that, should we? Good words. Romans 5:3. Does someone want to read that for me?
Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance.
Even when things are going wrong, we can have joy in our troubles. From the story I shared earlier, I distinctly remember obviously being stuck with a car that we could, the caravan we couldn't move, was stuck in Liverpool in Sydney. And I remember having an afternoon, obviously waiting for the phone call, and that's enough stress in itself, but having just that special time with our family that, you know, we wouldn't have had in the car had we have been in the car traveling. It's God's goodness amongst the troubles that were going on. Sure, I didn't know we were going to get fixed. No, I didn't know we were going to be looking for a hotel in Liverpool that night to stay because it wasn't going to be fixed. But there's God's goodness amongst those troubles that we experience. There's sometimes, what I quite saying a lot lately, there's sometimes silver linings, isn't there? We've got to look to those silver lining moments that take place, that happen around us, even in the bad times. Does someone want to read Romans 8:28 there on your handout?
And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
It's always a confronting scripture, that one. You know, we know that God is at work, and we know that everything, that God works for the good of those who love him. Sometimes we have trouble seeing it, but don't we? Sometimes we've got to pause and take a moment and really be able to look for it. Even when times are tough, we need to remind ourselves that God is a good God. I know he has a purpose and a good plan. I mightn't know it yet. I mightn't see it. I mightn't want to look for it either, but he has a good plan even in those moments. Final consequence on your handouts there. I become pessimistic about the future. One of the consequences, I become pessimistic about the future. When you forget how good God really is, we become pessimistic. We lose hope because hope is based on the goodness of God. David tells us in Psalm 27, the connection between hope and goodness of God. It says, I would have despaired. He said, I would have despaired. I would have been in total despair unless I had believed that I'd see the goodness. There it is, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He would have despaired if he hadn't seen that. There was no hope for David if God was not a good God. It says, instead I thought, wait for the Lord. I don't have the answer right now. I've got to sit with this moment, and I need to be able to wait. It goes on to say, be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. He says, don't get in a hurry. God is a good God. You've made your requests. Now you need to wait. Now you need to wait. Well, we want the goodness of God straight away, ASAP. We want to tap the credit card for the answers to our prayers and get it now and not wait for tomorrow. We want that interest-free period so we can have the good straight away. No, it says we need to wait. We need to wait for that. Rick Warren gives a definition of hope. And he says, hope is anticipating God's goodness. Hope is anticipating God's goodness. Do you like that? Can you relate to that? The only reason we have hope is because of God's goodness, the goodness of God. If God is not a good God, there would be no radical, rational, logic reason to have hope. Because we're up the creek without a paddle and we come on our own, don't we? Like, we can have hope for different things, hope for a good fine day tomorrow. We can hope for those things. But really, hope is anticipating the goodness of God. The foundations of all hope is that God, the goodness of God, if God is not a good God, we don't have any hope. Hope is tied to that. In Psalm 27, it says, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I'd see the goodness of God in the land of the living. But it goes on to say, wait for the Lord, be strong, let your hearts take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. So is God really good all the time? Sometimes I think it comes from the perspective that we find ourselves in, isn't it? Because we can see here in Scripture time and time again that God is there for us. He's wanting to engage with us. And I encourage you over the next 8 weeks, we're going to pull apart Psalm 23 and look at the different benefits of the goodness of God found in that Psalms. And it talks about the seasons of life, Psalm 23, we've heard already today. It's not all peaches and cream. It's not all lush green meadows. There's times when life can be quite challenging. So join with us in that journey over the coming time. I encourage you. So let's just take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray today that we can be reminded of your goodness, that while there can be consequences that we place in our own lives when we don't rely on your goodness to see you at work in our lives, Father, I just pray in those moments that we'll be reminded of things like Psalm 23, the seasons that we go through, but the fact that you go through that with us when we call you our Saviour and our God, Lord, that we can look to you. That we try to be self-reliant, we're reminded that in life that our hope comes from you. That hope is seeing your goodness at work, that you will remind us to do that. So God, today as we get ready to go into the world, to take your goodness with us, that you will equip us for what lies ahead this week. That despite what comes our way, that we can look for the goodness of God in those circumstances each day. We pray in Jesus' name. And I also give you this benediction based from Psalms, from John, and from 1 John. It says, go now with your trust in the Good Shepherd, and let us love not just in words, but in truth and action. Believe in the name of Jesus Christ and love one another just as he has commanded us each to do. And may God set you aside, even in the valleys of death. May Christ Jesus be the cornerstone of your life. And may the Holy Spirit abide in you and tend you with love and mercy all the days of your life. We go now to love and to serve the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Bless you each. Great to have you with us, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.